started.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you for the things you're doing right now. Thank you for great things you're going to do for us very soon. We are grateful for answering our prayers. We say thank you for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you for solving our problems. Thank you for making ways for us where it appears there are no ways. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a beautiful future. And thank you because you will take us into the beautiful future you have prepared for us. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your truth that we are learning in this place, especially during Bible study classes. Thank you for how you have used these truths to open our eyes, to deliver us, to build us home into maturity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you also for doing revival in our souls and spirit using your truth. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I'm asking that as we would be learning more of your truth today, right now, minister to the hearts of everyone that are here, and we'll still join. Minister to us and help us and bless us in Jesus' name. Let your power transform us as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you're going to do more than we have asked of you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at another topic, which you know is another point. we've been considering a title called Backsliding. Or falling away from God. And we've been looking at a subtopic that says danger signs that lead to losing faith. And then under this subtopic, we have been looking at several points. And I decided to make those points and a topic for every Tuesday teaching class. Yeah, so today we are moving to another point, which is one of the signs of backsliding. One of the signs that shows that a Christian or believer is backsliding or has backslidden or have lost the faith. Yeah. And the topic is having an unbelieving attitude. Having an unbelieving attitude. So if you have unbelieving attitude, is a sign that you're backsliding. Yeah, you know what unbelief is. Unbelief simply means a failure to believe. Yeah, or refusing to believe. Yeah, so if you have that attitude in you, you should repent, because unbelief is a sin. Yeah, unbelief is actually a sin. So if you discover that you are having unbelief in your soul, in your heart, you should repent immediately. And go and look for faith. Yeah, repent and start doing things that will stir up your faith. Or go and do things, spiritual things, spiritual exercises, like especially studying the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. Those exercises would stir up your faith. Yeah. So we must not have unbelief. In fact, how can you say you're a believer if you have unbelief? Yeah. So it's one of the reasons why we are being called believers. You know, Christians are also believers. Yeah, so the reason why we are called believers is because we always believe. Yeah, irrespective of whatever situation we find ourselves, we always believe in the power of God. We always believe in the greatness of God. We always believe in the strength and authority of God, in the defense and faithfulness of God. Yeah, so that is why we are called believers. So now, if you say you are a believer and you have unbelief, well, you're just against yourself. Yeah, because the thing that makes you a believer is believing. Yeah, so we should not have unbelief in hearts. Throughout the scriptures, you will find that this unbelief is the greatest sin. Now, some people think the greatest sin is sexual immoralities or sexual perversions. And while some think the greatest sin is idol worshipping. Yeah, but actually the greatest sin is unbelief. Yeah, failure to believe God. Or refusing to believe God. That is the greatest sin. Yeah. And every other sin takes their roots from this one I've just mentioned. Every other sin that you can think of, they take their roots from this one I've just mentioned. Yeah, we obey God because we believe God. Yeah. So, unbelief is the greatest sin. Yeah, because there is no obedience without believing. Yeah. Yeah, we love God because we believe Him. Yeah, so that is why everything about Christianity is faith. Yeah, is faith. If you remove faith from Christianity, there's nothing left. Yeah, there's nothing left. And that is why sometimes we call Christianity the faith, or sometimes we say the Christian faith. Yeah, or maybe somebody have backslidden. We say that person have fallen from the faith. Yeah, because everything about Christianity is faith. Now, and if that faith is missing in you, then At that point, you are not a Christian. Yeah, because it's all about faith. Everything about a Christian is all about faith in God. Yeah, so the moment you stop believing and trusting in God, you cease to become a Christian at that moment. You're no longer a Christian. Yeah, because everything about Christianity is faith. Your salvation is about faith. Your righteousness is about faith. Your obedience to the word of God is about faith. Yeah. So that is why we must not have unbelief. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Yeah, though some people say fear, but before we mention fear, the opposite of faith is unbelief. Now, after you have mentioned unbelief, then you can talk about fear and doubt. Yeah, but the opposite of faith is actually unbelief. Yeah, I pray that this thing called unbelief shall not be found in your heart and in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us look at some scriptures. I want us to look at John chapter 6. Verse 60 and then verse 66. John chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 66. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear him?" And then in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yeah, can you see that? Many of Jesus' disciples, they went back. That is, they stopped following him because he mentioned some things they found too difficult to believe. Yeah, especially when he mentioned about his body or his flesh being meat and his blood being drink. Yeah, he mentioned about his body being meat and then his flesh. His blood being drank, and then he said they must eat his body, they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Yeah. So when he mentioned that, they couldn't continue. Or let me say, they couldn't believe that. They couldn't accept it. Yeah, because they took it literally. They did not understand that Jesus was talking about what we do in churches today, the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Yeah, they didn't know that was what Jesus was talking about. Or they didn't know that it was a kind of spiritual feast, not a physical feast. So they thought he was really going to give them his body to eat and his blood to drink. That is physically, they thought he was going to give it to them physically. So instead of them to humble themselves and be patient and ask him to explain more, they couldn't do that. So they said, "Oh, this is a very hard teaching. This is a very hard saying. Who can endure this kind of saying?" Yeah. So they left him. Yeah, because Jesus said that is the only way they can have eternal life. They must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Yeah, that if they don't, they can't have eternal life, and he will not be able to raise them up at the last day. So they became confused. I pray that you will not be confused about spiritual things in Jesus' name. Yeah, but those disciples, they became confused and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. Yeah, because they do that a lot in occultism, in satanism. They eat human meat and they drink human blood. Yeah, so that was what they taught Jesus. They thought Jesus was trying to initiate them into occultism. Yeah, but they didn't know that. he was going to initiate them into the kingdom of God. And they didn't know that this thing was not going to be a physical meat, a physical human meat or physical blood. Yeah, but if they were patient, they would have understood they would have understood in time, in the process of time. Yeah, the understanding would come to them eventually, but they weren't patient and you know, they couldn't believe what Jesus was saying. So we should be patient with God as God is dealing with you. Be patient with Him. Even if you see a revelation from God that looks mysterious, don't act foolishly. Be patient. Yeah. And continue in prayer that God, who have revealed it, will also explain it to you. Even if you see a revelation that looks confused, maybe God told you something before, and then you believe what He said, and now He's showing you another thing that looks contradicting. And another thing that seems to be contradicting the first thing He showed you. Yeah, don't be in a haste to start doubting your faith or doubting your relationship with God. Be patient and continue to pray. In the process of time, the Holy Spirit will make you understand why God is showing you another thing that seems to be contrary to the first thing He showed you before. So in the process of time, everything will start to make sense. But if you just conclude and say, no, this one that I'm saying now can never be gone, I don't think God is the one showing me this new revelation that I'm saying. You may just miss the glory and the greatness the revelation was meant to bring upon your life. So we should not be like those disciples who just left Jesus because He started to talk about things they couldn't understand. Yeah, things that were too mysterious for their human mind to understand. Let us not be like those disciples. Yeah, there are many things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that you will not understand. Yeah, but even if you don't understand, just obey, just believe. Yeah, you know, sometimes when I'm leading prayers, I used to tell people that just pray this prayer, even if you don't understand the details of the prayer. I used to tell them that. Just pray because later you will understand. Because we pray so many things. I mean, we pray about so many things in our prayer sessions, and some of the things that we used to pray about are not what many other Christians they're not what many other Christians know about. Yeah, though the things we pray about, they are in the scriptures. Yeah, but maybe because maybe I interpret the scripture in a way that seems to be different from the understanding they have. Yeah, so sometimes they may not really understand what we are praying about or why we are praying like that. But even if you don't understand, just believe and pray along. Yeah, because in the process of time, the Holy Spirit will give you the understanding. There are many things God have led me to do that I did not understand, but I did it. I did those things because I believe it was God that led me. Yeah, so I don't need to understand before I obey the instructions. Yeah, so let us be wise in our relationship with God. I pray that God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. So let's continue. Let us look at Romans 11, verse 20. Romans 11, verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Here, Apostle Paul was talking about the Israelites. Yeah, how they were the first branches from the tree. And how the Gentiles are the engrafted branches. You can read the verses on your own. You can read from verse 11, Romans 11. You can read from verse 11. Yeah, to understand better, but because of our time, I'm not going to be reading every verse here. Yeah, but it was telling, Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans and was telling them that they should be careful that they also are not being broken off the tree, the holy tree. Yeah, which is God. Yeah. You know, God, by his power, created the nation of Israel. Yeah, if you read the whole Testament, you're going to see that God himself created that nation. He set apart the nation from the rest of the world unto himself, because he had a plan of redemption. Yeah, he was going to redeem the rest of the world through one family and one nation. He started with establishing covenant with Abraham, and then from there with Isaac, and then from there with Jacob, who became Israel, because Jacob had an encounter with God, and God changed his name to Israel. Yeah, then the family of Israel, I mean, the family of Jacob now started to grow in number till they become a whole nation. So God did all of that because he had a plan of redemption. And the plan was to bring out the Messiah, which is Jesus. Yeah, that was the plan. That the Messiah would come from the nation of Israel, specifically from the tribe of Judah. That was the plan. So it was all about the Messiah. From the moment he called Abraham, everything was all about the Messiah. The Messiah. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, so that through Jesus, the rest of the world can be redeemed. So he started by redeeming Israel, and then produce a redeemer through the blood of Israel, or the bloodline of Israel, or bloodline of Judah, that will now redeem the rest of the world unto God, or unto he himself. Yeah, so that was the plan. Yeah, but, you know, pride entered the head of the Israelites. Yeah, they felt they were more special than the rest of the world. They don't know that God has no respect for anybody. Yeah, they don't know that God is no respecter of persons. Yeah. So because God separated them, he separated the Israelites from the rest of the world. So they felt like, oh, we are so special. And we are more important than every other people in the world. Yeah, so that gave them very strong pride. Yeah, so they became so full of themselves. Yeah, and they entered into self-righteousness. Yeah, because when you have pride, it's going to lead you into self-righteousness. Yeah, and self-righteousness is when you give yourself a righteousness that is not acceptable in the sight of God. Yeah, when you give yourself laws or principles to follow, yeah, that is not the same with the laws of God. Yeah, when you are living by your own standard and not God's standard, that is self-righteousness. When you have set some standards for yourself, and you believe somewhere in your heart that these standards I've set for myself are also the same with the standard of God, whereas they are not the same. Yeah. So that is self-righteousness. And that was what majority of the Israelites entered into. They became self-righteous people. Yeah. And we saw examples in the Gospels, in the New Testament Gospels. The book, when I mean Gospels, I'm referring to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you read those books, you will see examples of self-righteous religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. And the rest, yeah. So they allowed pride to enter into their heads because they felt they are more special than others. Yeah. and they became so religious. Whereas God wanted them to be spiritual. Yeah, but they replaced spirituality with religion. So they were practicing religion instead of connecting with God, with their spirits, with their heart. Yeah, they were just following the law with their human wisdom and senses. Yeah. And they were misinterpreting the book of the law or the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah. Yeah, those were the heralds, the committing. Yeah, that led them to crucify Jesus with their hands. Yeah, with their own hands, they crucified their Savior. Yeah, because of the pride and envy and self-righteousness. Yeah, because of that religious spirit, they ended up crucifying their Savior. Yeah, so we must be careful to not let pride, yeah, especially the feeling of I am better than others, I'm more important than others. Yeah, you must be careful to not let that destroy your relationship with God, because that was what really destroyed Israel. Yeah, so they felt they are superior than every other nation of the world. Yeah, because God have given them wonderful promises, and then God have manifested himself to them in so many ways. God have done several mighty miracles and signs and wonders in their midst since the Old Testament days. Yeah, so all those things, or let me say, all those history or historical record they have about God's interventions, God's miracles, or God's salvation, how God would save them from the hands of their enemies. Yeah, so it was all those mighty acts of God that entered into their hands, and they think that they can disobey the same God and go free. Yeah, they think they can offend God and go free. Yeah, and not face is wrong. Yeah, because they think they are better than the other people in the world. They are more special than others. So they feel like they could do many things wrong and still win the heart of God. Yeah, and God showed them that no one can do that. Yeah, and no one can do that. Yeah. You know what God did to them eventually? Yeah, God had them destroyed by their enemies, and he scattered them. Yeah. The nation of Israel was desolate for many years. Yeah, the land was desolate for many years. God so much dealt with them that He made sure not a single Israelite remain on that land. You know, it was God who gave them the land. Yeah. Which we call the promised land. It was God who gave them. Yeah. And when they, you know, when they now, or how should I say it now? When their sins have reached the peak, God finished them. And you know when their sins reached the highest level? It was when they crucified the only Son of God. That was when their sins reached the highest level. And that was when they were scattered. Yeah, God finished them. He made sure that the land remained desolate. Yeah, that is, He made sure no one was able to come and stay on that land. Until, I think, was it 1940-something, maybe 1947, I'm not very sure. Yeah, that the people in Israel now migrated to the place. And these people in Israel today, they are not the Israelites that were scattered by God. Yeah, they are not. Yeah, so up till now, the Israelites are still scattered. And we can't even recognize them. You may think you can, but you don't know how God scattered them. Only God who scattered them actually know where they are today. Yeah, and that is if there's still a pure blood. I doubt if there's still a pure Israelite blood. Yeah, because you know when a nation starts in intermarry with other tribes, then it will be difficult to, the blood becomes diluted. Yeah, so we can't really say that today there is still a pure Israelite blood. Yeah, because they had to survive. So many of them had to marry other nations when God scattered them. They had to marry people from other nations. Yeah, so my point is that if God can do that to these Israelites who claim they are so special, yeah, and they allowed pride enter their head, how much more the rest of the world? Yeah, how much more, how do I say it now? If He can do that to the Israelites, it means He can do much more to any person who thinks they are too special or more important than the truth. Yeah. So if you start to make yourself more important than the laws of God, the commandments of God, God is going to show you that you are nothing. Yeah. In fact, God started to destroy the Israelites from the wilderness. He Himself started to destroy them from the wilderness. And God destroyed more Israelites. God destroyed more Israelites than their enemies did. Yeah, I believe you know that. God killed more numbers of them than He used their enemies to kill. Yeah, to show you that no one is special. Yeah. You are special when you obey the word of God. Yeah, because today some people, in fact, even the people in Israel today, they have this mentality that, oh, we are more special. Yeah, even though they are not even Israelites. Yeah, they are not the original Israelites. But this particular spirit of pride that destroyed the original Israelites have also possessed these other people that are on, that are living in the land of Israel today. And they are having the same feeling that they are more important than others. In fact, it's one of the reasons why Israel is bombing many other countries. If you follow the news, you see that their prime minister, I forgot the name, is so interested in destroying many countries. He would attack different countries and he would show no mercy on the women, on the children. Yeah, he would release bombs that would destroy hospitals, yeah, destroy children. Yeah, because there's this pride that have possessed them. They feel like they are more important, they are better than any other person in the world, so they can kill anyone. So, whenever anybody start to feel like they are more important than others, they are special in code. Yeah. You know, to the point that they start to violate God's instructions, God's laws, then such people are digging their graves. Yeah. If you go, if you visit hell, you're going to see millions of Israelites. I mean, the original Israelites. You're going to see them in hell. So if being an Israelite would take nobody to heaven, yeah, then what is the gain of being an Israelite? Yeah, if the only thing that takes anyone to heaven is obeying the word of God, yeah, loving God wholeheartedly, believing God, trusting in God, yeah, then I want to do that. Yeah, in fact, if that is, of course, which that is what is required to make heaven, then that is what I want to do. Yeah, so God has made it clear that what is more important is that we obey Him, believe Him, trust Him, follow Him, love Him. Yeah, God has made it clear in the way He dealt with the Israelites. Yeah, so that was what Apostle Paul was telling them here in Romans 11 verse 20. He said, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. So God cut them off. That is, the Israelites, He cut them off from salvation, from redemption. Even though the Savior came from there, But because they would not believe, even in the Savior, because they would not believe the truth, God cut them off. Now, let me read further. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Now, Paul was talking about the Gentiles now that have now become believers because they now believe in Jesus. So Paul was telling them that the people that that's where supposed to receive this faith, they rejected it. And now you have received Jesus by faith. Now you are standing by faith. Then he said, be not high-minded. You can see pride. That is, pride is the same thing as high-minded. So Paul was saying, don't be high-minded. Because that was what brought down the Israelites or disqualified them. Then he said, but let us read that verse 21. Romans 11, verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, that is the Israelites, take heed lest he also spear thee not. If God did not spear the natural branches, the people who were the first partakers of God's covenant with men. If God did not hear them, the people who really received so much mercy and love from God, if God did not spare them, then we should know that He will not spare any other person who failed to believe Him and trust Him and obey Him. I pray that you will learn wisdom from how God dealt with the Israelites. In Jesus' name. So don't let the goodness of God become a source of pride in your life. Don't let the blessings of God in your life become a source of pride in your life. Because the same God who showed you mercy is also going to reject you. When he sees pride in you. Don't forget what the scripture says. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. God would draw closer to the humble and he will reject the proud. Resist is also rejection. I pray God will not reject you. So be careful. Be careful. Whether you think you have spiritual gifts, spiritual blessings, or you think you have physical gifts and physical blessings, be careful. That they don't put pride in you. As they did to the Israelites. In fact, looking at the way God dealt with the Israelites, we can see that God doesn't care about whatever we think we have, or whoever we think we have. He doesn't care about whatever we think we have or have become. Yeah. He doesn't respect anyone. Yeah. Whether you are from the tribe of Judah, or from the tribe of Israel, or you are from another tribe, or you are from whatever country, God doesn't care about that. Yeah. Whether you look beautiful or you don't look beautiful, God doesn't care about that. Yeah, He doesn't care. The only thing He cares about is that you please Him, that you obey Him. So which means God will not think twice to execute judgment upon everyone that hates Him, upon everyone that have denied Him, yeah, upon everyone that have offended Him. He will not think twice to execute His judgment upon them. So whether they are Israelites or not, yeah. So the point is not in whether you are a Jew or you are a Hebrew or you are a Gentile. Yeah, the point is in the fact that do you believe in Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Yeah. Are you pleasing Jesus? Are you obeying Jesus? That's the point. Yeah, I pray that you get these now before it's too late. In Jesus' name. So let us look at another scripture. Don't forget that Paul said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Yeah, the Israelites, their pride would not let them to believe the Messiah when He was physically manifested among them. Yeah, and because of that, they were disqualified. They could not enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah. So let us look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Yeah, this was Apostle Paul's warning to the Colossian church, the church in Colossae. He was telling them to beware and not allow anyone spoil their faith. Yeah, that's the same with spoil you, Apostle Paul said, don't let anyone spoil you. In other words, he was saying, don't let anyone spoil your faith through philosophy and vain deceit. Yeah, so once your faith is spoiled or hindered or damaged, your life will also be damaged. Yeah, don't forget, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So our life as Christians is according to our faith. In fact, everything that we receive from God is according to our faith. Everything we experience, transformation we experience, is always according to our faith. Yeah. In fact, many of the miracles Jesus did was always according to the faith of the people that came for miracles. Yeah, it would say, be healed according to your faith. Or it would say, your faith has made thee whole. So, which means everything that we get from God, our relationship with God is, will always be based on our faith level. Yeah, every dealing that God, every dealing that God would have with men, every dealing that heaven will have with man and this earth will always be according to our faith, to your faith, to my faith. Yeah. So now, if this faith happens to be injured or damaged or spoiled, then there's going to be trouble. Yeah. There's going to be great trouble because it's not like your life is injured and damaged. So that is why if you must protect something as a Christian, protect your faith first. If you must protect anything as a Christian in this world, make sure you protect your faith first. Yeah, because that is your life. Yeah, anything that happens to your faith happens to your life. And not only that, happens to your eternity. Yeah, so you must fight to keep your faith whole or healthy. Yeah, you must fight so hard to keep your faith healthy, to keep your faith alive, to keep your faith strong, because that is your life. And that is the only chance you have to make heaven. Yeah, and to live forever, to have eternal life. Yeah, that's the only chance you have. So you must guard your faith. Yeah, that was why he was saying, don't let anyone spoil you. Don't let anyone spoil your faith through philosophy, through vain deceit, which are according to the traditions of men. Yeah. Which are also after the rudiments of the world. And that one is science. Yeah, that part that says after the rudiments of the world. That's science, technology. Yeah. Yeah. So don't let anyone use science technology, philosophy, or whatever form of education or teaching or doctrine or tradition. Don't let anyone use these things to corrupt your faith. And as I'm talking to you right now, the faith of many Christians have been hindered by these things. Yeah, in fact, I see a lot of nonsense on the social media platforms. Some people will just come up and then record a video of themselves, and they'll start to talk rubbish. Yeah, and and the surprising thing is that a lot of people are liking the rubbish. You're going to see a lot of likes and a lot of comments. Likes on rubbish, nonsense, comments on nonsense. Now, when I say nonsense, to me it's nonsense, but it kind of makes sense to them. Yeah, because they don't have the faith that I have. Yeah, because some of them, they speak science, they speak technology, they speak philosophy. Yeah, and then they say, they claim that they know how the world works, how things in the world work. Some of them, they say they are coach, they are life coach. Some of them, they say they are, I forgot the names they give themselves. Yeah, but I think I just call them motivational speakers. Yeah. They start to give you principles to live by. Yeah, they start to tell you if you want this and this and that to happen in your life. You want to live a happy life, follow this and this and that principles. Now, and they usually sound very convincing. Yeah. And they have very persuasive words. But be careful. Yeah, because many of these principles they tell you to follow, if you check them side by side with the Bible, you're going to see that something is wrong. Yeah, because many of them, they're against our faith. Yeah. But I see a lot of people following these motivational speakers, or I don't even know the name they call them. Yeah, but maybe some of you know what they have been called. Yeah. So be careful. Be careful. Yeah, because very soon there's going to be many innovations, scientific innovations, technology advancement, and some kind of doctrines or teachings that will be spreading. Yeah. And they will be directly against the Christian faith. Yeah, so make sure you identify those ideas and knowledge, and make sure you reject them instantly. Yeah. Some years ago, we have Christians that they don't even read the news. I'm not saying you should not read the news or listen to the news. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit warned them not to listen to the news. Yeah, because everything that the news talk about is always against their faith. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit told them to not listen to the news, to not read the newspapers. Yeah, Yeah, but I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to you right now. But I'm just saying that be careful. Yeah, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you now that you should be careful. Yeah, I hope you understand. That is what I believe the Holy Spirit is telling you now. I don't think the Holy Spirit is saying that you should not listen to the news. Yeah, because now there's no way we can avoid the news. Because even the news is in our mobile phones. Yeah, is on the news is on the, and even more than the news, a lot of content is on the social media platforms. Yeah, there's no way we can avoid it. And I think we also need the news for intercessory purposes. Yeah, so that we can intercede for the world. We need to know what is going on in the world so that we can pray for the people of the world. So I think we need the information that comes through the news and through the internet. Yeah, but yet be careful while you listen to these things and watch these things. I say it again, be very careful. Yeah, be very careful. Even while you listen to news and information about your about health, about human health, human body, how the human body functions, about diseases, sicknesses. Even when you listen to news about those things, be careful. Yeah. And then when you listen to news about remedies, how this and that can cure cancer, this and that can cure this, be careful, because all these things, they are contending with our faith. All this knowledge, they are contending with our faith. And in fact, the Antichrist is going to win the hearts of many in the world by providing healthcare remedies, healthcare solutions. That is how the Antichrist will win the hearts of many people unto himself. Because he's going to come out and then he will say, I can heal your cancer. I can heal your blindness. Because the Antichrist will be able to heal. He'll be able to do some very powerful healings, like open the eyes of the blind, make someone that is deaf to hear. He's going to be able to cure diabetes, hypertension, cancer, hepatitis. And when I say cure, I mean cure, because after test is being run, they will find nothing. They will not find the disease anymore. I mean, I'm talking about a kind of cure where they will run tests on the person that have received the cure from the Antichrist, and they will not find the problem or the disease anymore. I'm talking about very real cure, but be careful. Yeah, because while he's curing in quotes, though I don't believe that's a cure anyway. Yeah, because every human being, they are not just a body. Yeah, every human being is both a spirit, a soul, and a body. So if you don't cure the soul and the spirit, you have not actually cured anything. Yeah, because as time goes by, the sickness will come back again, or another sickness will show up. Yeah, to be permanently healed, your soul and spirit must also be healed, not just your body. And only Jesus can heal the soul and spirit. Yeah, nobody can heal those two. But human beings can try, even the Antichrist, we heal the body, but it can't heal the soul. So now, why the Antichrist gives cure for the body is enslaving the soul and the spirit of the people. He's corrupting it, polluting it, and destroying their souls and spirit. But they would not know. Yeah, they would not know. So that is why you must be careful. You must be careful about the news you believe. You must be careful about the philosophy, the science, the technology. Be very careful. I don't know if I can say those two words 500 times. I would like to say them. I mean those two words. Be careful. Be and then careful. If I can say it 500 times right now, I would say, yeah, because we are in the last days. And Satan is hunting for souls, is looking for your soul. So I repeat, be careful. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. So now, let us look at Hebrews 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah, you can see it says an evil heart of unbelief. So once there is unbelief in you, your heart becomes evil in the sight of God. When there is unbelief in you, your heart becomes evil in God's sight. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Why do people have unbelief towards God? What do you think makes people to have unbelief towards God? What do you think makes people to not believe God? To not trust God. Yeah, to not depend on God. Yeah. You may answer the question in your mind. Yeah. But there is one answer that I always have to this question. And that answer is that people have unbelief, yeah, because they are full of themselves. Yeah, people have unbelief because they are full of themselves. Yeah, the human creation was designed in such a way that you have to believe something. Yeah, the way God created human beings is in such a way that you have to believe something. Yeah, even the people that call themselves atheists, they still believe something. Yeah, just that they don't believe God, but they still believe something. Yeah, because that is how God designed human. Yeah, we have to believe something. So now the people that don't believe God, is because they believe themselves, or they have made themselves their God. Yeah. They have made themselves their God. That is why they don't believe God. Yeah, that is why they can't believe God. Yeah, because there is this self in them that is looking for another option. Yeah, apart from God. Yeah, everyone is believing God for this, but they are saying, I don't need to believe God. I can find my own way. I can get it through other means. Yeah, so unbelief is actually fueled by self. Yeah, it's fueled by self. Yeah, and those who don't believe God, there is something else they believe. And that thing that they believe is their God. I pray that you will believe God. In Jesus' name. There's a lot I would have loved to say about this. I mean, on this subject of unbelief, but we don't have time. So let us look at the last scripture before we round off the session. Open your Bibles to the book of Jude, verse 5, because the book of Jude is just one chapter. Jude, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You can see this is confirming what I said earlier, that God destroyed large numbers of the Israelites in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Yeah. And he destroyed more than their enemies did destroy them. Yeah, because of their unbelief. Yeah. I used to ask myself that why would I not believe God? Yeah. Why would I not believe God? Yeah, because I see myself as I don't have a choice. Yeah. I don't know if you see yourself like that. Yeah, that you don't have a choice than to believe God. Yeah. Yeah, because I can't believe in myself. Yeah. The only part of me I believe is what God says I am. Yeah, that's what I believe. Yeah, what God says I am. What God has revealed to me that I am. That's what I believe. Yeah, so I can't believe in myself outside of what God says I am. And then I can't believe in the system of this world. I've known enough. God have shown me enough to not believe in the world system. So then, what do I really have an option? yeah, what else can I believe in? Yeah, so if you still have an option apart from believing God, then you're not yet a Christian. Yeah, if you still believe that you have an answer to your problem, you have your way out, you are strong enough, you're wise enough, you're capable enough to get many things done, then you're going to have problem with your faith. Yeah, because your faith is going to walk, it's going to walk, and it's going to stand forever when you have no option. When you have no other option concerning everything you need in life and destiny. When there is no other option, there is no other help, there is no other helper apart from your God. When there is no other solution, and when there's no other solution provider apart from your God. Yeah, so if you still depend on human beings and on the systems of this world, you're going to have problems with your faith. So you still believe human beings will fix some problems for you, problems in your life. You still believe some things in this world, or some people, or some systems, or some organizations will fix problems in your life. Then you're going to have a serious problem with God, especially in the area of faith. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Yeah, but make sure that you have no option. In fact, I thank God for my life. I thank God that God Himself started to teach me faith by making people that would have helped me to turn their backs on me. Yeah, when God started to teach me faith, He made sure that people I would have run to for help, He made sure they turned their back on me. So He pushed me to a point where I have no other option than to trust Him. And up to today, I'm still grateful to God that He did that for me. In fact, if there is something God has done in my life that I will forever be grateful for, is that thing He did some years ago. Yeah, because that led to a great transformation in my Christian life that have made me who I am today in God. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm so happy that those people did that. Yeah, because if they had not, I would not be where I am today. Yeah, and I've learned from that time that, you know, that to get the best from God, God must be your only option. Yeah, that's what I've learned. To get to get the best from God. It must be your only option for everything you need. Yeah, it must be your inheritance. Yeah. I pray that God will teach you this thing. And I pray that you don't have to learn it the hard way, because I learned it the hard way. And I'm still thankful for that hard way. Yeah, because now I know that my God cannot fail me, because I'm going to present the purest faith. I'm going to present the highest level of faith. And I know that when God sees that faith, He will not fail that faith. He will respond, because He taught me that faith. He taught me to trust only in Him, depend wholly on Him. I pray that I will teach you the same. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. And if you have questions, don't forget, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your presence and discuss your scriptures, discuss spiritual things. Thank you for all the things you have helped us to look into tonight. Thank you for all that you have opened our eyes to see. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I am asking, O Lord, that you help everyone here and everyone that will still listen to this teaching to grow strong in their faith in Jesus' name. I ask that you help everyone here to start to do things that will help their faith to grow strong and matured in you, in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you strengthen your people to be able to face whatever situation that will happen to them or that the enemy will bring to them. Oh Lord, help give everyone strength to face every hard situation and to fight and to overcome without losing their faith in the process. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that the philosophies of men, the news, the social media content, the ideologies of people, the rudiments of science and technology shall never be able to spoil your faith in Jesus, your faith in God, your faith in the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Remain blessed.